Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So much has been affected by COVID in South Africa and the world over. And helping us make sense of this, we're going to chat to Daniel Silk, a political economist and futurist. I've always wanted to speak to a futurist, I must be honest, because these guys, like Clem Santer, they can tell us what's going to be happening. They can give us insights. And he's going to be chatting to us how the 2020 economy has been impacted by COVID and how this will impact on our country and most probably on the world for years to come. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Daniel, it's a very interesting subject today, and we need to obviously go into the retrospect, and then we need to go into what's going to be happening going forward. So let's start off. How has the 2020 economy been impacted by COVID?
Well, of course, from a global perspective, we've seen growth rates slump across the world. There's been some recovery, but for large parts of the world, for millions and millions of citizens, many have found themselves in positions of weakness when it comes to job security. Many individuals have lost benefits, or at least have had benefits reduced. They've had salaries reduced. They've been furloughed across the world. Demand, therefore, for goods and services has dropped across many categories, some more than others, I might add, like in the travel and leisure industry, in the fashion retail industry, for example, which have been severely affected. And this, of course, has created also, COVID has created a degree of anxiety that has affected the normal day-to-day life of millions. So, you know, I think we've seen, you know, a substantial shock to the global system that is going to take some time to recover. The key here will be the effective rollout of vaccines over the next year to 18 months or so. But the damage that has been done for an individual and also for a country. And just remember, countries have had to raise a lot of capital. They've had to spend on all sorts of COVID-related equipment, additional hospital care and attention. This has pumped up the debt levels for many countries. Many countries are going to really be unable to pay those debts unless they increase income tax or unless they borrow further on capital markets, again, creating pressure. So all of these, you know, put together, it's all sort of like sort of all just a bad recipe across the board, whichever way you look at it.
So, Daniel, I read that surprisingly, South Africa's net exports were far better than anticipated in the third quarter of 2020.
Well, I think you've got to sort of look at these statistics quite carefully, and one must be careful also of quarter-by-quarter comparisons, because, you know, if you start with quarter-by-quarter comparisons and you compare to the previous quarter, which was particularly bad, then your next quarter looks particularly good. So you really need to go back and look at a year-on-year comparison rather than a quarter-on-quarter. We've seen in the last month or two an improvement in demand for commodities in particular. The Chinese economy has recovered a lot quicker than just about any other country in the world. Their industrial production is looking a lot healthier. In fact, it's not too far off from where it was prior to COVID, amazingly so. So there's a demand for metals and minerals, and as a mineral exporting country, we have taken some advantage of that, and I think that's reflected in some of those export figures that you've indicated.
So, Daniel, let's not talk economy now. Let's talk to you as you being a futurist. In respect of how this is going to impact going forward, what can we look forward to from a positive perspective that's come out of COVID?
Well, I do think that all of us are going to be a lot more vigilant when it comes to public health care and the financing of public health care. I think all humanity and all of us, whether we're in South Africa or not, have all had a shock to our system in terms of the vulnerability that one feels as a human being and the understanding that countries and peoples need to have access to reasonably effective health care services. And if the state has to provide those healthcare services, then one has to be, I think, a little bit more amenable in a sense to that public health and the funding requirements that public health needs. And I think, in a sense, that's an important positive for the world going forward. You know, secondly, I think that we're all going to become a little bit more conscious about cleanliness, about sanitization. Nothing wrong with that. And I think for all of us, perhaps some habits are going to be with us for a long time. Wearing a mask if you don't feel well, even if COVID is gone. I think voluntarily, of course, I think humans are going to be a lot more, I think, aware of those particular needs. Look, I think there are other issues that I would like to say are going to change the world for the better, like, for example, a concern for at least eliminating inequality in our society. But I fear that, you know, some of the bad habits that we were used to before COVID may well come back to haunt us after COVID. But I do think there's a greater sympathy across the world now for this issue of combating inequality and an understanding that, you know, the poorer segments of our population have been much more severely affected by this pandemic in general. And that we do, I think, as humanity, need to take care of the less privileged our society. But that means that there are other pressures. Governments must come to the party. They must be efficient. They mustn't be wasteful. They must have good economic policies. And on the back of that, I think a greater amount of citizens will buy into the need for more effective governance and better access to healthcare and to opportunities for all.
And Daniel, in closing, do we have the right leadership at the helm in respect of our big business and industry going forward into 2021? Looking back at 2020, were things handled correctly from a business and industry perspective? And do we see a better public private participation going forward?
Well, I think you've got to sort of differentiate here. I think governments and political leaders, elected leaders, were caught off guard for obvious reasons. There was no script available for this pandemic, and most global leaders really floundered in terms of trying to find a happy medium between saving lives and saving the livelihoods of individuals. So I think, you know, the jury is out on the performance of elected leaders. In the private sector, I think also, look, it's been a difficult time for private companies. They've been subject to regulation and restriction. They've seen their own turnovers drop in many instances. I do think, and I think it goes back to your earlier question, and I do hope that we will see a greater degree of cooperation between the state and the private sector, particularly here in South Africa. And I think the real test is going to be next year when it comes to rolling out a vaccine. It may well be that the private sector play a critically important role in assisting in the procurement of sufficient vaccines and also enabling the more efficient rollout of vaccines to our 59 million people. The state's capacity may be limited, may be inefficient, and the private sector can really contribute there through the various medical aid schemes that are very intricately linked to the state health facilities as well. And I think there is an opportunity for greater cooperation. And I think that's a cooperation that can perhaps filter through to other forms of public-private cooperation as well.
Daniel, thank you so much for your insight today.
Thanks so much.
That was Daniel Silk. He's a political economy analyst and a futurist. And he was chatting to us about the economy update for 2020 and how this year's economy and the events that we've had are going to affect us going forward.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.